Today we want to talk about a testimony that you heard on Easter Sunday from Jane Abate as she shared the pain of walking through multiple abortions in her life and trying to understand the grace and the love of Jesus Christ in that. And unfortunately, when you hear the word abortion, the only time you usually hear about it is when it's about a political argument. And so you hear pro this and pro that. And in the middle of that argument, you start to discover that people are anti certain people. But the truth is, Jesus loves all people where they've walked in life, and no one should walk alone if they have been part of the pain of abortion. And so I'm very glad that today, as a church family, really for the first time, and it's been my heart for years, but really for the first time, I've been seeking, Lord, how do we have that conversation to make sure that no person in this room, man or woman, walks alone in handling the pain and the attacks of the enemy in that, and finds that they really have a church family who loves them and understands them. And so today what we're going to get to do is Jane is going to share her testimony and the discovery of what the Lord has done in her. Jane actually has written two books, and is a national leader for coaching, both within our denomination. She's a speaker. She does leadership coaching for businesses and schools and things like that. And she's just a wonderful lady who is also a blessed part of our church family, her and her husband, Bill. And she's going to come and share. And the reason we come and share this time is not because we're trying to single out a struggle or particular brokenness in this life, but we want to make sure that nobody walks alone in this, because we are the family of God. And we want to understand how to love one another, how the good news of Jesus Christ is so real in this area of life. And then all of us in this room, we want to understand how to have the compassion and the understanding to walk with people in our families, in our community, because we want to make sure that every person knows the love of Jesus Christ. Amen? So with that, would you welcome Jane Abate as she comes to share this morning?
Good morning, my church family. Thank you, Pastor, so much for giving me an opportunity to share some of my experience and the experience of hundreds of women and men that I've worked with over the last almost 20 years in the process of healing from abortion. And I want to have a special call out for my husband, Bill, if you'd raise your hand, who is the love of my life and is my great blessing. And Bill and I moved here from Pittsburgh 2.5 years ago, so I hope you won't hold that against me. But what I will tell you is that we absolutely love it here. Bill returned home to Virginia, and for me, it's the first time I've ever lived anywhere but Pittsburgh. And I could not have picked a better place and a better location than Richmond, Virginia. And it has been a true blessing to find Cornerstone Church and to be a part of this family, to become a member of Cornerstone Church. It is very meaningful to us. And so what I want to share today is from my heart and also from experience that I've had with women and men experiencing abortion. Just that word, abortion, can prompt all kinds of emotions. For some, it's chills of horror. How could you possibly do that? For others, it invokes a deep sense of shame over a time in our life that we really just want to forget or maybe can't forget. It's, for some, what's the big deal? It was a decision I made. Maybe it was a difficult decision, but that's in the past, and I've moved on. But whatever perspective you have about it, I think you might agree that abortion is a tough subject to talk about. It's an emotional subject to talk about. And it's a complex experience. It's a life-changing experience. And so what you might be surprised to know, though, is that abortion is one of the most common surgical procedures performed in the United States and all over the world. In the United States, there's close to 1 million abortions every year. And rather than thinking about that it happens to women and men out there, what you might be surprised to know is that 1 in 3 women will experience abortion in their life. So if you think about the women that you know, the women in the church, 1 in 3 of us will have experienced at least one abortion by the time we're 45. And almost half of us who have experienced abortion, myself included, have experienced more than one. It's that common. For women who've experienced abortion, almost half already have at least one child. And more than 75% are in the church in some way. They express a connection to a Christian faith. Now, those aren't just statistics that I'm throwing out there. They reflect the real experience in my life, and I'm imagining the real experience of many of you in this room. Your personal experience as the mother of the child and the father of the child. Certainly, it may be the grandparents of an aborted child, or it may have been your sister or your brother who experienced abortion, one of your students, someone you counseled, or a friend. The chances are really high that everyone in this room has been impacted or knows someone who's been impacted by abortion, and that's why it's such an important topic to talk about. In my case, I experienced 3 unplanned pregnancies, and the video gave you some information, and I'm not going to go into those details. If it would be helpful for anyone to hear more about my own experience, I will be glad to share that separately. But what I want you to know is that by the time I was age 32, I had experienced 3 abortions. I was unmarried for each of them, and I hid those secrets. I never told anyone about those abortions, and I seemed to just move on. Some people might have thought, or now that they hear about it, how heartless she is. But I understand now that I was heartbroken, and it was all I could do to numb myself from the shame and the guilt and the loss that I had experienced. Pastor said well what my hope is today and what my goal is for these remarks that I make. First of all, to speak to the women and men in this room who have experienced abortion. Our circumstances, no doubt, are different, but we share that difficult experience of abortion. And I want you to know that there is nothing that you could have done, no circumstances surrounding that, that Jesus will not forgive and does not understand, and that I do not understand and have compassion for. So nothing that I say, I pray that nothing that I would say would cause you more hurt, more shame, or more guilt. That would be the furthest thing from what I want. I want to convey a sense of understanding and connection, give you some information about some healing resources that are available, and most of all, to stand here as a beacon of hope. If Jesus can change me and change my life, he can certainly change yours. For those of you that are not part of an abortion, I want to expand your understanding, give you some information, so that for those that you know that have experienced abortion, or if there comes a time when it might be your son or daughter or your husband or your wife who brings up abortion, that you might be informed about how abortion can seem to solve a problem, but how it can actually create a lifetime of problems, and so that you might be equipped to support and care for those of us who have. It was about a dozen years after my last abortion when I was sitting in church, and over the course of several years, there were notices in the bulletin about support for healing from abortion, and I was mortified. I couldn't believe, I was sure everyone knew that it was me that was reading that and it applied to me. And you know, that can sound silly, but some of you might know what I'm expressing right now. But finally I had, through the courage of the Holy Spirit, to reach out. And I became part of a healing ministry called Rachel's Vineyard, and there's information in your bulletin about that. And it is a Jesus-centered, Jesus-grounded healing ministry. And in that ministry, there were scriptures that were very meaningful to me. And one of them is one that I want to share with you today. It's from the book of Mark, or from Luke, chapter 8, verses 43 through 48. And I'm just going to read this on the screen to you. And then I'll show you how this scripture made a difference in my life. So there was a woman in the crowd who had suffered for 12 years from constant bleeding, and she could find no cure. Coming up behind Jesus, she touched the fringe of his robe, and immediately the bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. Everyone denied it, and Peter said, "Master, this whole crowd is pressing up against you." But Jesus said, "Someone deliberately touched me, for I felt healing power go out of me." When the woman realized that she could not stay hidden, she began to tremble and fell on her knees in front of him. The whole crowd heard her explain why she had touched him and that she had been immediately healed. "Daughter," he said to her, "your faith has made you well. Go in peace." This is the word of the Lord that ministered to me. And I want to just walk us through three sections of this scripture and talk about the impacts of abortion, how it is a physical trauma, it creates emotional trauma, and how it damages relationships. But I'm not going to end there because it doesn't end there. Thanks to the saving power of Jesus, we have a hope and a future. And we'll talk about that, the healing and the peace that's available. So let me begin with the setting of abortion. And I realize that each one of our situations are going to be different. And I bring you, as I said, my experience and the experience of probably several hundred women and men that I've worked with. So abortion often, most often, begins with an unplanned pregnancy. For whatever reason, we weren't expecting to become pregnant. And now, we're thrust into emotional turmoil. In my case, it was fear. What would my mother say? What would people think? I'm not married. I'm not prepared to get married. This wasn't in my plan. And the emotions that surround abortion are very, very difficult. For one of my friends, she learned her whole life from well-meaning parents, you better not come home pregnant because I'm not going to raise your child. And she finds herself pregnant. What was she to do? There are women and young girls who become pregnant through rape and incest. One woman on our recent retreat had been victimized by her uncle over several years. And each time, her parents, believing that it was the best thing for her, she experienced abortion. You know, we can believe that it's a simple solution, and it does create some immediate relief to a difficult situation. I've heard from husbands and wives who find themselves pregnant again and are overwhelmed with caring for the children that they have and are frightened to death because they can barely make ends meet now, yet alone with one more child. The point I want to make is that it's not a simple situation. It's not an easy situation where those stresses and pressure come. And then there are the abortions that occur for medical reasons. And this is something that can be particularly devastating to women, to husband and wife who find that their child has some serious abnormalities or difficulties. The doctors advise that the child will never have a good life, or even that the mother could die in the process of childbirth. Now, I don't say these things to shock you, but to let you know that there are many different circumstances that surround women and men when they make these choices. Abortion itself is a very medically invasive procedure. It's painful. And when the procedure is over, almost all of us go home with no counseling, no real support, no information. And usually, if we have communicated with others about it and others know about our abortion, we're often told, well-meaning, I'm sure, to just move on, just forget about it. It's over. You can have more children. And so, how are we to live? The bottom line is that abortion is a painful, stressful experience, physically invasive, and we're left with little or no tools or support on how do we deal with the aftermath. So what happens? Like me, life goes on. I threw myself into my work, and that was my priority each time I found myself pregnant. But there's an emotional trauma that goes along with the physical trauma of abortion. First of all, whether we recognize it or not at the time, there is the loss of a child. And I believe Scripture says that women are created to bear children, and men are created, in part, to care and tend for their families. And when we go against the very nature of why we were created, it creates a wound in us that is very deep. So there's the loss, first and foremost, of our child or our children. In my case, it was the opportunity to parent, because I never was able to become pregnant after my three abortions. There's the impact on our self-image. And when you think about the woman in the crowd who has suffered for 12 years, these are the things that she is suffering with. The loss of her child. Constantly the reminder. In my case, I shut myself off from my friends from college because they got married and had children. But I never did. And it was too painful to be around them or my nieces and my nephews. And abortion isn't something that just goes away and that time heals. So what happens with these emotional wounds? Well, here's the thing. Emotional pain can't be healed if it's hidden. And so often how those of us who've experienced abortion, how that pain shows is it either leaks, what I call leaks or bursts. And so it might be in contemptuous behavior towards men. It might be the inability to bond with the children that you later have. In my case, at one point, I decided I would be a terrible mom, and I wouldn't allow myself to become pregnant. And then later, I discovered that I wasn't able to have children. The woman who created the Rachel's Vineyard program discovered the depth of abortion pain through the small groups she was running with young women who were cutting themselves. And what she noticed is that one of the common denominators of those women in that group is that they had abortion in their past. Addiction is not uncommon. Promiscuity, addiction to porn, certainly low self-esteem. How can I feel good about myself after what I've done? And whether I block it out and numb it with alcohol and drugs, as I did, or I am super sensitive and it's all I can think about, crying at the drop of a hat, whatever it is, there's extreme emotional damage from abortion. But let me ask you this. Would you want a relationship with someone who's either chronically depressed, highly anxious, prone to addiction, unable to forgive him or herself, low self-esteem, guilt-ridden, emotionally flat? Would that be the ideal relationship? Of course not. And so many of us go on and bring that past and that emotional damage into our relationships. And you may not be surprised to hear that up to 75% of couples who experience abortion together separate and divorce. None of the men that were the fathers of my children, those relationships all ended. We don't know how to talk to one another about that. We don't know how to cope with the problems and the difficulties that we have. So the years pass, and I tried the therapy. I never told my therapist I had an abortion, by the way, or let alone three. But I tried everything I could think of. And like the woman who touched Jesus' cloak, I could find no cure because I was doing it in my own power. I read self-help books. I got therapy. I threw myself into my work. I numbed it. But no matter what, I couldn't move on. I couldn't cope because I was trying to do it on my own without Jesus. And this is where the moment of the power of the Word of God really hit me. Because this woman who had been bleeding for 12 years, who was an outcast, who wasn't allowed to be around other people, and think about those of us who have experienced abortion and how we may be seen as outcasts in our family, in our country, that we feel we have no hope. But through the grace of God, I was able, in that healing retreat, to reach out and touch the cloak of Jesus. And it may not have seemed like any big deal to anybody else, but it was a huge mountain for me. The pastor has been saying over these past few weeks that if we rise up above our fears, those fears and the shame and the guilt, that healing is available to us. And what happened? What do we see from this scripture? Immediately the bleeding stopped. Now, I'm not going to tell you that in that healing retreat, the moment I reached up to that cloth, and there literally was a cloth on a table, and we were invited to come up and pour our hearts out to Jesus, which I did. I'm not going to tell you that everything immediately changed in that moment, but something changed. Something changed in me because I took that one step to reach out and say, Father, I can't do this on my own. I need a Savior. I need Jesus. We read further in the scripture that after she touched Jesus' cloak, and Jesus asked, who touched me? Everyone denied it. And I so relate to how abortion is such a hidden sin. We don't want to talk about it. We shy away from it. Who needs me? Oh no, I can handle this on my own. But Jesus said, no, someone deliberately touched me. It wasn't a mistake. It wasn't just a knee-jerk reaction. When I reached out to Jesus, and when women and men come forward for healing, they make a decision. We make a decision to trust Jesus, even though we don't feel worthy, even though it might seem overwhelming to us. It's a deliberate step that we take. And here's what also stood out for me, is that the healing power came out from Jesus to me. It was all about him. It was his grace, it was his mercy that healed me. It wasn't anything that I could do. So what's healing actually look like? When we take that step, when we can no longer stay hidden, how do we know that we're healed and what's possible? I believe that there's great power in telling your story. And whether it's in the Rachel's Vineyard program or through counseling you may receive, or if you decide to join a small group that I'm starting up, there's great power in telling your whole story. What was it that might have made you vulnerable to abortion? What were the circumstances surrounding that? And that's important because we don't just wake up one day and become part of an abortion. And having the ability to step back and have some perspective about what was going on in my life and what were my responsibilities and what were not. Now, it's become very clear to me, if I wasn't sleeping around, and excuse me for being blunt about it, but if I wasn't sleeping around as an unmarried woman, I wouldn't have gotten pregnant and I wouldn't have been faced with the prospect of an unplanned pregnancy and having an abortion. And then I made those choices not to talk to anyone. And even though I was in the church and I believed in Jesus, I didn't have a relationship with him. So I didn't seek him and his counsel or the counsel of any of the pastors in my church. I took it on myself. So telling your story gives you an opportunity to have some perspective. And with a compassionate and caring individual or a group, what you experience is compassion and understanding and not horror or condemnation, what we most fear we'll find. You can accept your part and repent of your part and the sin that you committed. But here's the other part that's important about healing, is that you can claim and possibly name your child. Now, I have three children in heaven, Anne, James, and Jane. And I've said several times, they're the only children I will ever have. I never held them. I didn't raise them. They had Jesus for that. But it was the moment when abortion went from a terrible time in my life, a mistake that I made, a medical procedure I underwent, a memory that I don't want to recall. When all that shifted to, this was my child. These were my babies. And then claim them as a mother has the right to claim her children and give them a name. It was the hardest thing. It was so painful. But now I gave them honor as their mother and they as my children. And I released them to Jesus, knowing that they are in a place where there is no condemnation, where there's no hate. And so women ask me, will my children forgive me? What I know is they're with Jesus in the place of love. And there is no unforgiveness in that place of love. And so that opened things up, like this woman, when she reached out and touched Jesus and accepted that healing and didn't stay hidden anymore through that experience and connecting with my three children. I really learned to accept what the cross meant and that Jesus died for me and all my sins. But it doesn't end there. It ends with the last words in this scripture where our loving Father, who called this woman, calls me, calls all of you women, daughter. The loving Father who wants the best for us. And he says, your faith has made you well. Now, healing from abortion is a process that takes time. And people have asked me, will you ever get over your abortions? And boy, that's a tough question to answer. I don't know that there's a good answer for that. But what I can say is, I've gotten over my abortions. The part of it that has kept me in the guilt and shame and in wrong behavior, and the part of it that has separated me from Jesus, I've gotten past that, for sure. I will never forget it. But here's what I know, is that Jesus doesn't want us to stay in the cave of shame and guilt and self-condemnation. Right. Pastor said he wants us to rise up and to go in peace. And you know what? Here's the thing. Somebody told me in one of our healing retreats, is that Jesus created you, Jane, knowing that you would have three abortions. But that isn't what defines your life. He did not create you so you would abort your own life. And so when I have the opportunity, like I do today, to share the love and joy of Jesus, I say to encourage all of you, men and women who've experienced abortion, is that your abortion does not define you. And that it's time to rise up. If you are not there, it is time for you to rise up and go about the healing, to take that step, to reach out. It's time, because your life is passing you by. And you've wasted too much of your life, as I did, in that guilt and shame. So now it's time to step into the purpose and plan that God has for you, and all the amazing joy and happiness. I didn't know that I would ever be able to love or feel lovable for what I did. And I would pray over and over for God to change my heart. Jesus, change my heart. enable me to feel love. My heart had become so hard, especially towards men. And intimacy with men were so difficult, was so difficult with my first husband. And then, after a difficult divorce and time in more healing and the grace of God, I meet Bill Abate, who was a widower and who had to accept, didn't have to, but he chose to accept me. And now I know that God had love in store for me. Amen. And that it wasn't too late. And that I have the opportunity to work with women and men all over the world in the healing. So here's where I want to close, is that Jesus is calling you to rise up, to take that step of faith, whatever that might be. And what I would encourage you to do is pray about what is that next step. I don't presume to know what that is for each one of you. Some of you still may have never talked to anyone about it. And I'm not encouraging anyone to go out and tell the whole world. That's between you and Jesus, and I believe that prayerfully the Holy Spirit will lead you to what is your next step. But if you are still sunk in guilt and condemnation and the heartbreak of your loss is still interfering in your life, in your relationships, and in your relationship with Jesus, not being able to accept his forgiveness, you have more healing to do. And it's a process that takes the rest of your life. So I encourage you to pray about your next step. I will be praying for you. Pastor has enabled us to start a small group. We're calling it Where Do Broken Hearts Go? And it will be 7 weeks, once a week, for about 2 hours. We're going to meet in a private location off church campus. And that group is open to both women and men. And that will be an opportunity to explore and to really look at it with a group of individuals who love and care and support you. Rachel's Vineyard is the organization that that leads healing retreats. It was the starting point for me. There is a local Rachel's Vineyard group. And for those of you that might be afraid to do something local, there's Rachel's Vineyard retreats all over the country. And certainly my contact information is in there. Pastor has confirmed that this would be confidential. No one in the church is asking for me to share names. It's a little sad in a way of that. That just shows how deeply it's hidden. But nonetheless, if I can give you any support, point you to certain resources, I would be blessed to do that. So I thank you, my brothers and sisters, for giving me the opportunity to share from my heart, to share information that I hope, again, for those of you that have experienced abortion, that it has demonstrated compassion and concern for you and understanding, and shed a ray of hope, and equipped others in the church for how do you respond to someone who's experienced abortion? So I appreciate and thank you for hearing me out today.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. There are times when sometimes I'll be at the back of service and I'll hug or I'll shake some hands afterwards, and sometimes if I have the time, you know, I'm a very, like, hug you, love you kind of person. And someone will be like, love you, Pastor Sean. And sometimes I'll say, well, I think I love you too. And they'll be like, what do you mean, think? And I'll say, well, I love who you've shown me. I just don't know if that's all of who you are. Mm-hmm. And I'd love the chance to love all of you. And I think as we as a church family learn the love of God, we want to be able to love who you really are. Like, love all of you. Like, the broken part and the great part, the amazing part. Because I tell you what, that's when worship is easy. Yeah. When you're like, God loves all of me. I'm ready to sing. I'm ready to sing today. He loves all of me. And when we think about the cross and what the Lord has done, I mean, it's there really is no better news. And so we're all different personality types, and we all handle our healing process a little different. And I think Jane's done a wonderful job of letting you be you in the midst of the possibilities of how your healing process goes. But if I could just speak as a pastor and as a part who shares God's heart for you, you know what? God loves all of you. All of you. And isn't it amazing? I think Jane's done a really good job of, isn't it amazing how when we don't talk to anybody else about our story, we have written and defined all of our story? And you ever have that moment when finally you share it with somebody else and someone says, well, why do you da-da-da about that story? And you're like, I don't know. I've just been so used to playing the story in my head my way that I've never actually thought that there was another way to think of that moment or to feel about that moment or to feel about God's love in that moment. And I'm so struck with Jane's comments about, I was part of a church for so long and I went to therapy and I was trying to feel better, but I was never really going to the place that needed to feel better. There was a deep root and I was taking care of all the fruit, but I was never kind of going to that spot.
That's right.
And I'm so grateful. This is what I think church should be, what a church family should be. We should walk with each other and love each other and give each other a chance to know each other. And so my prayer is that the Lord would fill each of you with hope. I feel like if it hasn't been something that's been part of your personal story, I think we've got a world that is longing for someone to love them the right way. And I hope that you'll be able to love someone a lot better because of what you've heard today. And Jane, there's so many extra questions I want to ask you, and we've got to wrap up here in a second. I've asked Pastor Brandon to sing It Is Well With My Soul one more time, because I think we need to know no matter where we are, no matter where we are, that the moment we let Jesus into that love, into our story, and into the place we really are by letting somebody else in, I tell you what, it becomes well. And not only does God heal you, but I'm telling you what, God makes you a blessing to so many others. None of your pain and none of your story has to be wasted at all. I'm telling you what, the joy of the cross, and I don't know how to explain this other than that, the moment you say yes to him, you are right where you need to be to have the life that God has always planned for you. I can't explain how that happens other than that nothing in your life is wasted and all of your life becomes a gift. So, Ms. Jane, I think, I guess just the question maybe to follow up with is, I think we've all been in a place where like, wow, that's me, but there's no way I can go there. Mm-hmm. There's just no way. Mm-hmm. Because I've built a life that now is fine, and it feels like I'm stepping back and breaking apart the progress I've made in order to go to this place of healing. And I just literally, everything in my emotions and in my brain is saying, you don't need to go there. You just don't need to go there. Why go there?
Yeah.
So what would you say to that person?
Well, I would say a couple things. One is that's exactly why you need to go there. That it's something that is taking an enormous amount of energy to stuff it, to not go there. And that energy is sucking the life out of you.
Great point.
I would say that it's one step. That's all. It just starts with one step, like the woman who reached out. Yeah. And that step is taken in prayer. Jesus, show me. I was at the service today for a reason. Yeah. What is that one step? And he will show you that step and the next step, and he will put people and surround you with the support that you need. He never fails us.
Yeah.
Amen. He never fails.
Amen. Lord just spoke into my heart, too. There's someone who's going to be watching this video, whether you're watching live today or whether one day you see this video and you hear this testimony. And literally, Lord just spoke to me that today's your day. Today's the day that the Lord is knowing what you need to hear, and whether it's reaching out to us or somebody else, that the reason you're seeing this video today is because the Lord knows what you've been walking through and knows that pain and that fear. And just want to say God bless you today and that the Lord has given this to you. And don't be afraid to take that next step, that the Lord, you can reach out to us or reach out to somebody else in the faith community and at one of the churches. But we just love you today, and today was for you as well. Just felt like I needed to say that. I'm going to ask all of us to stand. Let's take a moment and declare with whatever process we need to be in that I'm going to trust the Lord and cause it to be well. I'm going to ask Jane to take a moment to pray over us, and then we're going to sing this song, and then I'm going to wrap up with one moment of instruction for where we go from here for our church family and some of the things we're doing. So, Jane, would you just say a word of prayer over all of us that we would be both, that we would have the courage and the faith to trust the Lord where he's calling us to go in our healing process, and that we would be a place of healing for those who need it in this story.
So, Father, here we are, your sons and your daughters, and we love you, and we are here to pursue you, to know you even better, to strengthen that relationship that we have with you. And God, there have been things in our life that have been deeply painful, that have hurt us, people that have disappointed us, that have pushed us, Lord, that have abandoned us, and we have sinned. But we know, Lord, that no sin is above your healing and your mercy, Lord. And so we turn that over to you, especially the sins of abortion. And we are confident that if we repent, you will heal us. Lord, I pray today for the men and women in this room and how abortion has hurt their relationships, how it has caused them to go from one to another, seeking the love and the healing and the support that they can only find in you, and yet to be disappointed again and again. The marriages that have been so damaged by husbands and wives who are unable to share the secrets of their past. Lord, I pray that you would break those barriers, Lord God, that the conversations, those tender conversations would happen and would be received in a spirit of compassion and understanding and grace, Lord. That daughters and sons would forgive parents, mothers and fathers. That mothers and fathers would forgive daughters and sons. Yes. And that we would be equipped to love as you have commanded us to love. And Father, I lift up the women and men in this room who may not have experienced abortion but have experienced pregnancy loss or infertility, and that may find it so difficult to hear this message today. How their heart is aching for the children that have been lost to abortion. Lord, I pray that you would comfort them and that you would provide them an understanding. God, we thank you for all that you do in our lives. Lead us to that next step so that we can rise up and go in the peace that you want for us. I praise you, God, and I thank you for this time together as a faith community. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
And all of God's people said, let's declare this message of peace in this moment of worship.